Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
I want to begin this morning, if you would. I just want to start this morning with sharing a poem with you all. It's called A Mother's Prayer. A Mother's Prayer. It said, I said a mother's prayer for you to thank the Lord above for blessing me with a lifetime of your tender-hearted love. I thank God for the caring you've shown me through the years, for the closeness we've enjoyed in time of laughter and of tears. And so I thank you from the heart for all you've done for me, and I bless the Lord for giving me the best mother there could be. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you and praise you for this time, Lord, and we thank you and praise you for just the preciousness, Lord, of who you are and how wonderful to us you are, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray in particular this morning, Lord, for our mothers, Lord, Father, those that are mothers, Lord, and for even our own mothers, Lord. I want to thank you for the time that you have given us and for the mothers you've given us, Lord. Lord, I pray now that you would just speak now by your word, instruct our hearts, Lord, encourage us. Be with those who are able to join us this morning for whatever cause or purpose, Lord. I pray that you would just bless them. And Lord, may you continue to receive the glory from all that we should ever say or do here, Lord. And in particular right now, Lord, I want to pray that you remove your servant and allow your spirit to teach, Lord, your perfect word. In your son Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I want to begin by reading our text again together, if you would. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So I rarely speak about my mother, and it's not because I don't love my mother. And just to be clear, not to cause confusion, I'm talking about my mother, not my stepmother, Julie, who passed away this last year. Many of you knew and came to the funeral. But I really don't speak that much about my mother, Ruth Gardepi. Being that it's Mother's Day, though, I thought there'd be no better time than today to share with you a little bit about my mom. So, in speaking about my mom this morning, I want to tell you that my mother was not the typical perfect mom. Although I will say this, the more I've been around, the more years I've had, the more I've understood and come to understand that there is no such thing as the typical perfect mom. Each mom in of themselves is very unique. Each mom and the way they are and the way they behave is exactly the way they're supposed to be. I know that sounds strange to say. When I think about my mom, and I remember I used to think I was disappointed, and let's be honest, all of us at some one point or another have probably been disappointed a little bit in who our mother was. And we thought to ourselves, oh man, she could have been a better mom. We've all had that thought. At one point or another, whether it was just when we got grounded as a child, or perhaps some of you had a different or a little more struggles in life, whatever the case may be. None of us ever would stand up and say, my mom was the best, the perfect mom, and blah, 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 blah. Now, some of us may do that in their presence, but let's be honest, if we were to take the world, the account of all our words, I'm sure that we would have a hard time coming to that summation. Now, I say all that this morning because I grew up with my mom. My mom was the typical latchkey kid back when I was younger. Both my parents worked, my mother included, not making fun of and not disparaging women who work, by the way. Understand that, okay? That's not what this message is about in any way, shape, or form. My mother worked, and so I didn't have a whole lot of time with my mom. As a matter of fact, she oftentimes would come home, go to bed, wake up, make us breakfast, and by the time I got home from school, she was gone, and I wouldn't, because she worked the afternoon shift at the railroad, and so she wouldn't get home until, you know, she'd leave about 3 or so in the afternoon, wouldn't get home until after midnight sometime. So I didn't necessarily know my mom that well, but although there were times that I can remember my mom and we had a good time together. My mom was not the typical mom in the sense not only did she work, but my mom also didn't cook very often that I can recall for me. Now, we'd have breakfast. Like I said, I didn't go hungry, but I don't really recall my mom cooking. Even to this day, if you talk to my mom, she'll tell you, I don't really cook. She just doesn't. You know, I was a processed food kind of kid. All right, and that was me, and that's okay, and I'm not faulting my mother for that. Praise God, He gave me a wife who does cook. So, and believe it or not, you can't blame this on my mom. I'm just saying. Okay. So my mom didn't cook. My mom didn't bake. I don't remember ever having homemade cookies when I got home or anything like that. I mean, not even the toll holes, cut them up, throw them in the oven kind of things, right? I didn't have them. Now, it doesn't mean I didn't have sweets. I had sweets, all right? Chips Ahoy, still one of my favorites. Oreos is incredible. Okay, so I had sweets. That wasn't a problem. I didn't have a mom who baked for me. I didn't have a mom who was the most compassionate of mothers. And what I mean by that is I don't really recall ever my mother expressing her love to me through hugs or words or anything like that. Although that doesn't mean that my mom didn't love me. And there weren't times, it wasn't like there weren't times when I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt how much my mom loved me. My mom was not perfect, but she was the perfect mom for me. One of the mistakes I believe we make in our lives, brothers and sisters, is we have a tendency to look at other people's lives and think that's what we should have had. This is what I should have gotten. This is what I deserve. As a matter of fact, I remember one time, and perhaps I've shared this story with you, my mother got the opportunity to be a mother again. She raised one of her grandchildren from her second husband and is still raising her, actually. She's the same age as Jaden. I remember that one time she invited us to one of her school activities. She was going to Grace Lutheran, and they were having a Christmas program. And she invited myself and Chandra and Jaden to come and watch her and her granddaughter, and I would call her her daughter, in this Christmas program. And I went and I enjoyed myself tremendously. And as we were driving home, Chandra said, "That had to hurt a little bit, didn't it?" And I was like, "What?" You know, and I mean, I'm thick. You know, I'm not really necessarily the quickest guy on the there is. But I'm like, "What do you mean that had to hurt?" She goes, "Well, I just know that your mom didn't ever do those things for you when you were growing up. You know, my mom didn't. When we had Christmas programs, my mom wasn't there. I had baseball games, my mom wasn't there. I had football games, my mom wasn't there. Now, am I faulting my mom for not being there? No. But I remember, actually, that I sat there, and I can honestly say this is how I know the Lord Jesus Christ resided in me at that moment, because at first I was like, "Yeah, I am hurt by that." I didn't know I was until my wife pointed it out, and so, but created to be my helpmate, don't worry about it, all right? No, but in all honesty, I didn't know. And then all of a sudden, as I sat there and I thought about it, I actually thought to myself, "No, I'm not hurt by that." Because I was actually just thankful that my mom got the opportunity to be a mom again, if I can put it to you that way, and to do something different for this child than she did for me. Now, having said that, though, I still believe my mom was the perfect mom for me. See, because my mom, whether she realized it or not, could not have been a better mom to me than she was. I say this because I don't, not because of all the things we just talked about, but I needed a mother who, because of my disability, would not make excuses for me or allow me to make excuses for myself. And my mother absolutely did that. I can honestly say that I even though I knew I walked different than every other kid, I wasn't the normal kid, I had the disabilities, whatever the case may be, and every child had their differences, don't they? But I remember for me, my mom didn't allow me to make that be an excuse. I still learned how to ride a bike. I still went skiing twice, okay? When you can't get your skis to go the same direction, no matter how hard you try, it's just not worth it, okay? So I did all the things that I was supposed to do as a kid. I played sports. I was in activities. I mean, there was nothing that was withheld from me because of my disability. I wasn't allowed to say, "Mom, I can't do that. I don't feel like I can do that." My mom would be like, "I don't really care." And this is honestly what she would say to me. "I don't really care what you feel like you can do. Get out there and do it and figure out how to make it work." Thus, I played baseball. Thus, I played football. Thus, I did whatever the case may be. Was I the most talented? No. Best looking? Yes. Most talented? No. But honestly, the truth of the matter is that I needed a mother like that. I needed somebody who was not going to sit there and coddle me and like, oh, look how precious you are. Like all my friends with moms, when they would get a cut on their finger, crying, oh, please, I'm going to die. Oh, come here, kiss on and everything like that. I didn't have a mom like that. But I didn't need a mom like that. Nope, I didn't need a mom like that. And I will just say this, that my mom would push me. And she would push me to do things that honestly, I think there are even kids nowadays you couldn't push to do. And I'm not being rude when I say this, but some of the generations that are coming up are just flat out lazy. All right? And my mom would not allow that to be the case in my life. She pushed me. I mean, I would consider it torture back then, right? I mean, I've told you my stories about me and Eli being, you know, getting around two and a half, three years old, sitting on the kitchen counter doing dishes, right? It's hard enough to get my 16-year-old to take the dishes out of the dishwasher. But my mom pushed me. And I can honestly say this, that because of the way my mom treated me, the way my mom was, and the way that God designed my mom, that I grew up to be a very independent person. Not that I depended upon myself, understand that, because I did for a while, that didn't work, right? But my mom taught me to be independent. I didn't get to sit there and just sit in the mud and wallow and cry when the kids didn't play with me. I went and found other kids. And so the point of what I'm telling you this morning is this, is that my mom, whether she realized it or not, she was not an obstacle in my life because she wasn't the perfect mom, the typical mom, doing all the things that we think a mother should do. She was not an obstacle in my life. My mom was exactly who God had designed her to be so that he could raise me up to be who I'm going to be. Does that make sense? That's why I say now, fully understanding that and I grew up to be that independent, not and came over all this, there was nothing that would get in my way, there's nothing I wouldn't push my way through, sometimes to my own danger. Praise be to God, I found the Lord. And I honestly can say this, I found the Lord, I do believe, in a very large part because of my mom. Because I was so without family, so without the idea of what family was supposed to be, when I found the Lord Jesus Christ, or more in particular, when he came and got me, I knew I had found my family. That's why you guys mean so much to me. Do you understand that? I mean, and the Lord has blessed me since then. I married a wife that has a wonderful family. I call her my mom, and I call her mom my mom, and her dad my dad. And they are that close to me. And I can honestly say, even to my own shame, that I'm sure I will cry more at my mother-in-law and my father-in-law's funeral than I did my own parents. But that doesn't matter, because my mom was the perfect mom. God knew through his infinite plan that he was going to take care of me. And one of the ways he took care of me was by giving me my mom. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning. Looking back at our passage of scripture we just read, let's just start at verse 11, or verse 10 and 11, if you would. Verse 10 and 11. It says this, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I want to pause there right now. When we look at our passage this morning and we're thinking about Mother's Day, I want mothers in particular this morning to listen to me. And for those of us who hold disregard or hate or discontent or whatever about our own mothers, you pay attention too. Because this is what I want us to understand this morning. I want us to get this very important point. Whenever you find yourself comparing yourself to others, you will be discontent. You will feel like a failure. You'll feel like you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And you can only compare yourself to people you consider lesser than you if you're going to accomplish any sort of greatness in your own heart and what you surmise to be lesser in your own eyes. This is why that Pharisee starts out. He says, I thank God that I am not as other men. Now, I'll be honest with you, had his prayer changed at that point to simply say, I thank God I'm not as other men, but I am who you designed me to be, I would have fully agreed with that prayer. But it didn't. It went on to say, I am not like that publican. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not unjust. I'm not blah, 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 whatever the case may be. And some of us find ourselves there. But oftentimes, and where indeed lied the problem with this Pharisee was in his heart, it was the simplest observation, the fact that he was comparing himself to others, and this led to a false confidence, the same way that when we compare ourselves to others, we can lead ourselves to a place of discontentment. And this was the problem. I'm sure there were other areas where he had a lot of difficulties, but you notice he didn't compare himself to those areas, did he? He didn't look at the other Pharisees. He didn't look at the priests. He didn't look at the zealots of the time. He compared himself to what? The dregs, the worst of society. But now notice the publican. Look at the publican. Just jump down there to verse 13. It says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice this publican, what he does. This publican, if I can put it this way, this publican is honest before his God. Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I am not the perfect dad. I know that my son can look around the room and probably find other men that he would say, I wish that my dad were more like that man. And in some areas, I probably need to be more like other men. But mothers, get this one thought into your head with me, if you would, for one moment here. Stop comparing yourself. Be more like this publican and go, Lord, thank you for making me who you've made me to be, and please forgive me because I am not perfect. Don't look at the woman next to you who bakes everything so well that it just comes out and melts in your mouth. And go, why can't I bake like her? Well, some of people were born with a baking gene. I don't know, that's not necessarily scientific, but I believe it exists. Right? But other people know how to knit, how to crochet. Other people just know how to actually teach. Other people know how to, you know what I'm saying? Why are you comparing yourself? Because all you're going to find yourself doing is you're having a false confidence or an insecurity. Stop. Stop. This is my encouragement for you today. And this goes for each and every one of us in this room, not just the mothers. Stop comparing yourself. You want to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize how far short you fall and pray, Lord, help me to be more like you. And that's what we need to do. See, he was honest before the Lord, if I can put it to you that way. He was humble. Isn't that what it says? He was humble before the Lord. And as a matter of fact, the Lord goes on and praises him and says, this man went home justified. Why? Because he humbled himself before God. He was honest before his God about who he was. He didn't sit there and try to lie and hide it and dress up and, you know, and paint the pig, I think what Mr. Murray called it, right? Right? Put lipstick on a pig, what do you call it? Right? Anyway, where you try to make yourself look all perfect and wonderful and everything on the outside, when in reality, you're just kind of a messed up mess on the inside. I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys. Yesterday was probably one of the worst days my wife and I have had in our marriage in a long, long time. Long time. I mean, a really long time. I couldn't even necessarily attribute it to the fact that, oh, I was pushing her buttons, she was pushing my buttons, or anything like that. Those things naturally happen, right? Okay, it was just like one of those times where you're just in that sludge, you know what I'm talking about? And you're in that funk. And praise be to God, you know, we don't let the sun go, well, the sun did go down, but we don't let our sleep come until we get it worked out. All right? And we got it worked out, and I praise God for that. But here's the point, is one of the things that I'm not saying this in a disparaging way, because my wife is no different than the rest of us. But one of the things my wife was doing yesterday was she was sitting there, and she was taking what I started out with words trying to be encouraging in the morning and listened to them and heard me comparing her to what I thought she should be. And that wasn't what I was saying at all. My wife is exactly who I want my wife to be. And tomorrow, when the Lord changes her some and she grows a little more in the Lord, she's going to be exactly who I want her to be. She couldn't be a better wife to me. She couldn't be a better mother to Jaden than she is. See, if we would just stop comparing ourselves, but rather let the Lord encourage our hearts that we're a work in progress and we are who he designed us to be. Exactly, right? Because, guys, I'm being honest with you. I don't want your mom. I love some of you, and some of you are like a mother figure to me, but I'll be honest with you, you would not have been good for me growing up. I've watched the way some of you treat your kids. I mean, they're 17 years old and you're still wiping their nose. Enough! Stop! Let them grow up a little bit. No, I'm just kidding you. It's between you and the Lord what you want to do with your kids, but it wouldn't work for me. It wouldn't work for me. Do you see what I'm saying? I needed a mother who was going to stop wiping my nose before I even knew what tissue was. I needed that. Just like your children need you to be the mom that he had designed you to be. And just like you have to honestly look now at your mother, if you're an adult, you have to look at your mother and go, my mother was exactly who God needed me to have. Whether I necessarily thought all the time that or not. Because all those things led me to who I am now. Now. I want to look at an example of a mother who found herself in a place, but eventually found herself in a good place because she was discontent because she was comparing herself. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1. And when you get there, let's just begin at verse 6. There's a big text here we're going to go through. We're not going to have all this up on the screen. But 1 Samuel chapter 6. Chapter 1, verse 6, excuse me. This is a woman. I will back up to verse 5 so you know who you are. But it says Hannah. And hopefully you're familiar with the story of Hannah a little bit. And it says there at the end of verse 5, it says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, speaking of her husband. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. See now, here we have Elkanah, and Elkanah had two wives. That was the first mistake. Okay? Lest you think that God has designed us to have multiple brides, just think about the garden. Right? But, moving on. He had two wives. And Elkanah had children, and Hannah wasn't. She was barren. And, Phinehas. Phinehas had children, but Hannah didn't. And then it says in verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Let me tell you what's happening right now. These two women are comparing each other, aren't they? Phinehas is looking at it and going, you want to know why she's provoking Hannah, why she's so upset with Hannah? Because of what it just said in verse 5. Because her husband loved Hannah and was treating Hannah with kindness and specialness and so on and so forth. And yeah, that's going to cause bitterness in the other wife's heart. And so how is she going to be able to exemplify that bitterness? She's going to attack the one area she can't attack. That woman doesn't have any children. She's not as good as I am. But at the same token, Hannah is allowing her attack to hit home. She's allowing her attack to say, yeah, maybe I'm not that good. Maybe I'm not that perfect. Maybe I'm not. And so on and so forth. And as we know, the story goes on. Continuing on in verse 7, it says, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah to her husband, to Hannah, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat of the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, but only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been a drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Baal, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, and that thou hast asked him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So what happens here is now Hannah goes before the Lord. She casts all her cares, all her burdens, all her stresses upon the Lord's feet and says, Lord, I need you. And Eli comes back and says, the Lord's going to grant you your petition. The Lord's going to bless you with what you want. And then her countenance is lifted. She's no longer sorrowful. Now, did that mean she went away pregnant at that moment? No. But she was trusting that God was going to do for her what he needed to do for her to make her life what she thought it should be, right? She was trusting God for the answer. She was humbling herself before the Lord and saying, Lord, I know I'm not like every other woman. I don't have children yet, whatever the case may be. And she cast her cares and her burdens at the feet of the Lord. And then when the Lord said, hey, I'm going to answer for you, she went away trusting God was going to answer. If we, brothers and sisters, would learn how to quit comparing ourselves and just trust that God is going to do with us what God needs to do with us, cast those cares and concerns before the Lord's feet. Ask him, give him your petitions, but trust him for the answer. And lift up your countenance. And I love how it says there, her countenance was no more sad. Really pay attention to that idea. She was no more sad. Why? Because she was trusting God for the answer. And God did answer. But remember what her vow to the Lord was. That she would give her child to the Lord. And she did. Continue on. Jump down to chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now notice what she's saying here. She's saying, listen, I no longer have to worry because my God is on the throne. He's going to be exalted. He is holy. And there's no more arrogancy to come out of their mouths. Why? Because the Lord God of knowledge, it is him that's going to weigh the actions. In other words, when I put it to you this way, she believed now that God was good. She trusted that God was good. That's what she's really saying there, right? If I put it this way, when she said that God's weighing it, meaning that God is going to decide, God is going to be good, he's going to take care of this, she found contentment before her enemies. That's what it's really saying there to us. She found contentment before her enemies. She was content with her God. And she'd only had one child by this point. She was only pregnant with Samuel at this point. Now, that may not seem like much to some of you. We only have one child. I always tell people because we got it right the first time. All right? And then if they really want to argue, they might say, God only had one. I figure it's good enough for him. I'm just teasing. But she only had one child, but she's still content with even only one child. And by the way, you realize that she's made a vow to the Lord. She's not going to raise this child. Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. She's content even though she doesn't get to have the child that she so vehemently prayed for. And she's still content. Because the Lord hasn't promised her any more than the one, has he? He hasn't given her any more than the one yet. She only has the one and she's going to give him away. Continue on though. She will have more children. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 20 through 22, we read these words. It says, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which he had lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So she went on and had more children, but she was content before she had more children. She was trusting God before she had more children. And now she had given away her son, her first son, Samuel, to the Lord, to be raised in the house of the Lord, to be raised by Eli. Now, I tell you that because we think that's a very noble story, and thus it is. But honestly, have you ever stopped to think about what we as a society, or in particular, how about, let's just pick on moms, I'm just kidding you. But let's just say mothers, what do you think other mothers would have said of you if you would have had your, as far as you knew, only child and gave it away? Even if you gave it away to something so noble at the church, what do you think they would have thought of you? What would they have really said about you? What stories would they be telling about you? What would they be whispering behind your back? You ever thought about that? Because this is what she did. She gave away her only child as far as she knew. She didn't get that blessing of offers of the other children until Samuel had already been given away. She didn't know she was going to have more children. But she gave it away. I can't imagine what we'd do to a mother nowadays who said this, well, God told me I was supposed to do this with this child. I made a vow to the Lord and I'm going to keep it. And especially in particular, when we stop to think about where did she give him to? Eli. Eli already has children, by the way. You know that? He has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Right? I mean, he did such a good job raising them. I can see why a mom would want to give him to give her child to him. Right? Because they were definitely impeccable men. I mean, let's just jet back up to chapter 2, verse 12. Let's just talk about Eli's sons for a minute. Right? Now, the sons of Eli were the sons of Baal. They knew, this is not in the slides, guys, I apologize. The sons of Eli were sons of Baal. They knew not the Lord. Listen to that. Eli is the priest, and he didn't even raise his own children to know the Lord. But then it gets worse than that. We jump down to verse 23 of that same chapter. And it says, pick up verse 22, I'm sorry. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle congregation. And he said to them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is not good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. I mean, we can think about giving away a child if we're going to give it away to a household that's going to raise our child up in a godly and wonderful manner, can't we? But now, this was the story that's going on about his sons already. And she made a vow to the Lord and she was going to keep it. See, the difficulty came in her life and the answer came at the very beginning where we started at. She allowed the enemy to compare her. She allowed the enemy to compare her. You're not as good as I am. I don't want to be as good as anybody else. I want to be as good as God wants me to be. And therewith to be content. That's what I want. And I hope that each one of you mothers sitting here this morning and each one of us as we think about our mothers, think about the fact that your mother was exactly who God wanted her to be so that she could produce you. What? Yes. Exactly. All the bumps, the bruises, the warts, the bad things, the good things, whatever you want to say, all of it, the Lord had designed for you. Because if not, then we have to say that God is not on the throne. God doesn't know what he's doing, right? If I put it this way, I have to say God isn't good. And I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable saying those words. Matter of fact, Psalm 105, on your way to Romans chapter 8, go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 8, but Psalm 105 says it this way, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So if God is good, and make no mistake, God is good, then we have to trust that what God has chosen is right. Do you remember in the garden that we talked about last week, that the woman was created to be the man's helpmate, right? Came from his side. Okay, not from his head, not from his foot. We talked about that already. Came from his side, created to be a helpmate. Well, if you think that God didn't plan my wife for me, all right, and I can take you to biblical stories, by the way, where we know God designs our marriages too, all right? But if you don't think God chose my wife for me, then you don't understand the story of how I met my wife at all. But having said that, in choosing my wife for me, don't you think he also chose her to be my son's mom? I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? That's who God wanted, to be Jaden's mom. And I'll be honest with you, Jaden wouldn't have done well with my mom. Heck, he had a hard enough time with me as his dad. He needed a mom who was going to be kind, caring, compassionate. All right? One of the things my wife tries to complain to me all the time about is she hates how easily she cries. And she does. I'm not going to say she doesn't cry. All right? She cries when she's sad. She cries when she's happy. I mean, it's just, I don't know where those tear ducts are necessarily designed to be at, but that's one thing she complains. She's like, I hate that I cry so easily. She cries when she's frustrated, when she's upset. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know how important that is? Because it's okay to cry, first of all, right? Even as men, right? We get to cry too. But how important that is, in particular in my son's life? Because I'm not, the older I get, The longer I walk with the Lord, the easier I cry. I won't lie. I don't know why that is. I'm asking the Lord all the time. All right? I mean, I watch shows, and if there's any bit of sadness in them, all right? I'm sobbing. Okay? But Jaden needed that when he was a kid. Because I wasn't a dad who was very compassionate and cried a lot at the child when he was a child. I was the, what's the matter with you? Get up. Yeah, it's a paper cut. Get over it. Right? That was the dad I was. That's why he had his mom. Who could pick up the hand. Oh, you'll be all right. Look, it's all better now. And play the silly games. I didn't play silly games. I'm not very good at silly games. I was never good at baby talking. That's my wife. All right? I'm not a baby talker. That's just not me. All right? I've gotten better at it now that I'm 40-something years old. Okay? But when Jaden was a child, I mean, she used to get so mad at me because I'd sit there and enunciate with him until he'd get it right. But the point of the matter is, it's the same way that my God is good enough to design my wife for me to be my wife, he's good enough to design my wife to be Jaden's mother. And he's good enough to let your children be your children and good enough to let your mother be your mother. Our God is good. And he is. You're in Romans chapter 8. Just read verses 26 through 29 with me now. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. Let me read these words. And it shall come to pass in the place... Oh, I'm not in the right chapter, am I? Let's try chapter 8. Sorry. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now listen to those words. Listen to that promise. It is saying here, if you'll just submit yourself to the Spirit, people, brothers, sisters, quit comparing yourself. Let the Spirit make your utterance for you. Let the Spirit make the intercession for you. God will listen to the Spirit, and he'll make intercession for the saints. And then verse 28, because we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, and to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen to that promise, those words, that God is good, and he works all things to the good of them that are called according to his purpose. Meaning what? That he gave you the mom he wanted you to have. Meaning that he made you the mother he wants you to be. Meaning that, do you get my point? All those things work together. So take confidence in the fact this morning, if you would with me, ladies, for one moment here, that you are the perfect mom for your child. Don't let the world confuse you. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, and you will understand completely that you are the perfect mom for your children, no matter what they may say. Because my mom heard from me that she wasn't perfect for many, many years. But I can tell you that I can honestly say in all the confidence of the Lord right now that I would not have wanted another mother than mine. I got the mom I needed. That's me. And I have that understanding now. And I totally recognize how God used my mom to make me who I am. And I praise God that my mom didn't listen to all the talking heads who were saying what she should be as a mom. Because had she done that, and who knows what I would have turned out like. I'd have been sitting around on public assistance and never doing, I'm not saying the people on public assistance are bad, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that at all, but I would have never pushed myself to go on and try to do the things that I've done. I would have let society tuck me away in a closet and act like I was an embarrassment to them. But because my mom didn't let me do that, then society didn't get to do it to me either. See, you need your mom to be who your mom is. So, now, a word to you children. Stop looking at your mom like she's doing something bad. Your mom is perfect for you, whether you like it or not. Your mom is who God has given you. Rejoice in the fact that God gave you your mom and not mine. And I'm not saying that to disparage my mom. I'm saying, why are you comparing your mom? We can always find somebody worse. I mean, I just read a story the other day about a mother who drowned her own child in the toilet. That's a pretty bad mom. But you know what? You ready for this one? That's the mom that child needed. So the Lord needed that child home now. Horrible, right? But that is what God desired and God designed. Did God want evilness like that? No, but God will protect his children in whatever manner he needs to. And I have to be honest with you, as a father and as a mother, we used to pray when Jaden, before Jaden was born, if this child is not going to serve you, if this child is not going to come to know you, then by all means, Lord, take that child now. I'd rather go without a child in this world ever than have a child that didn't know you. We have the perfect mom. So part of our understanding that God is good is understand that he works all things according to his purpose. Now, just to bring this back home a little bit here, in particular, for I want to speak just directly to the mothers right now for one moment here. A familiar passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. There's a statement in here that we gloss over too easily so often. I know we've talked about it in the past, but I really want to focus on this morning, in particular for our mothers. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God created you to be the mom of the children that you're the mom of. So by all means, go out and be their mom. He created that work for you. So do it. Do it to the best of your ability, depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him for him for all the answers. I'm not saying you can't talk to other women for counsel, but don't compare yourself. Don't look at the other women and go, they're perfect, because they're not. Trust me, I've talked to a lot of them. They may look perfect here on Sunday morning. They even talk perfect here on Sunday morning, but they're not. Be who God has created you to be and walk in the work that God has created for you. And one of those works, mothers, this morning is your children. And take confidence in the fact that God gave you that to walk in. And that you haven't done bad. I hate this modern pop psychology that wants us to blame our parents for all the things that are wrong with us. You want to know what's wrong with you? It starts right here. It's called an issue of the heart. Because I could sit here and, you know, you want to compare notes to your parents to my parents? I'm 90% confident that if we were to compare it by what the world says is supposed to be, I win for having the worst parents. But I stand here before you telling you I had the perfect mom and dad. Because that's who God gave me. And that's who I wanted, whether I realized it or not. So back to where we began now. Luke chapter 18. Remember the publican standing afar off. Just to reread this again, Luke chapter 18, pick it up at verse 13 through 14 with me if you would. It said, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So mom, it's okay to feel inadequate and unequipped. It's okay. But your God had designed you to be who he designed you to be. Be that person. Mom, it's okay if your children don't turn out the way society said they should turn out. I'm going to touch on a hot I'm going to push on a little bit of buttons here for a moment. It's okay if your kids don't go to college. What? I know, right? Even some of the kids' faces are dropping right now. You want to know the house you're living in was most likely built by an uneducated or an uncollegeded person? You know how much you paid for that house? Not everybody is designed to be that way. So if you raise a child that isn't designed for college, so be praise God that you raised that child. If you raise a child that's meant to go on and be, you know, a doctor or a PhD or, you know, whatever is beyond that, I don't even know if there's anything beyond that. Praise be to God, that's the child you raised. But just raise your child the way God had designed you to raise them. Most of all, that they would not ever turn their back upon the Lord. And even when they do, don't you dare. Because that's not your responsibility anymore. You gave them the institution they needed, you gave them the information they needed, and what they choose to do with it is up to them. As much as it pains me to say, there are going to be some children. There are going to be some fine. There were going to be some parent, children of some parents who raised them very godly, who unfortunately are going to be in hell. That's not my job. My job is to give him the foundation and teach him the word of God and what he chooses. If he turns his back on the Lord later on in his life, he actually made a false profession. That's between Jaden and God. But I'm never going to turn my back on my Lord, because I know my God had given me exactly what he needed me to be equipped to be his son. Now, child, no matter how old you are, you're still a child. You're somebody's child, aren't you? Child, quit making excuses. God gave you who God wanted you to have. Trust God. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Don't go, but my mom didn't bake cookies for me. I didn't come home after school and she was sitting there with a apron on with flour all over it and fresh made cookies. Maybe he was afraid that you would get obese. What? I mean, I don't know, but do you get my point, guys? Praise God for the mom that you have, because the mom you have is who God wants you to have. So by all means, today, let us, as the children, rejoice in the fact that God gave us mothers, and more in particular, that God gave us our mom.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.